Support for this podcast comes from the Peabody Essex Museum, presenting Ethiopia at the Crossroads. On view now. Find out more about the exhibition at PEM.org.
If you miss it, you will have to wait 6,800 years to see it again. I'm talking about the Neowise Comet, which was discovered earlier this year in March, but has just recently become visible shortly after sunset. Here to tell us more about it is Kelly Beatty, space reporter and senior contributing editor of Sky and Telescope magazine. Kelly, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana. Great to be here.
So I almost couldn't say it without giggling, Kelly, because that's just a mind blower. A newly discovered comet that only see now or 6,800 years from now. Is this really unusual?
You know, if this were the only comet in existence, it certainly would be unusual. But comets come by the Earth pretty regularly. Occasionally, they do get bright enough to be seen by eye, as this one has. The last time we had a comet this bright anywhere in our sky, North or South Hemisphere, was in 2006. Some people might remember Comet Hale-Bopp back in 1997. This is not Comet Hale-Bopp.
You can forget.
This is a little more subtle, but it's still very pretty and worth going out to try to see.
So it's not the comet thing, it's the seeing thing that is noteworthy in this case.
That's right. Comets are, they're ethereal, they're gossamer, they're all kinds of great adjectives. And I saw it just last night from my home here in Chelmsford. It has a bright point-like head, which you can make out by eye. When you look at it with binoculars, and I encourage that, you see this graceful sort of tail draped upward from it that is telling you this is not an ordinary star by any means.
All right, so two things here. First, Neowise is an interesting name, just like Hale-Bopp, right? If you don't know what it means, you don't know how we got there. So why is it called Neowise? And if people want to see it or take a picture of it, how do they do that?
Sure. So Neowise is an acronym for the spacecraft that discovered it, the Near-Earth Object Wide Field Infrared Explorer. Hale is a person's name. Bopp is a person's name. And they co-discovered Hale-Bopp. And so where you want to go to see it, first of all, the less light pollution you have, the better. And in particular, you need a clear view toward the northwest. What you need to do is note where the sun sets, and around 9 o'clock, go out and take a turn to the right and look up, and you'll see the Big Dipper hanging in the sky. If you don't see the Big Dipper, then your chances of seeing the comet are really poor. Draw a line visually down from the right edge of the Big Dipper toward the horizon, and about one fist, clench your fist and hold it out at arm's length, about one fist above the horizon, you will find Comet Neowise.
Now, you just referred to it as having this beautiful tail and sort of brought in the awe and wonder of it. I was struck by a line that our meteorologists used to describe comets generally as, quote, a dirty snowball of gases, rocks, and other particles. We are no strangers to dirty snowballs here in Boston, but that's not very beautiful. So why is it so wondrous for us here on Earth when we see these dirty snowballs?
Yeah. Here's your science lesson for today. Comets are dirty snowballs. They were created 4.5 billion years ago out in the fringes of our solar system. They have been stone cold for all that time. This one has fallen in from those great beyond. And when it gets near the sun's heat vaporizes, or technically sublimates, the ices on it, and causes those gases along with dust to go flying off. The comet itself, that core, is only about 3 miles across, but it creates this huge cloud of gas and dust around it and the tail, which reflects sunlight and make it much more obvious than it otherwise would be. If this were only an asteroid 3 miles across, we'd never see it.
All right, so what else can we see in the sky this month? My understanding is there is more.
Well, there is, if you're a really early riser. If you get up and go outside, again, you need a clear view in all directions at 4:30 a.m. right now, you have a chance to see all five of the planets that are visible to the eye. Or just for those who want to do it, you look toward the east and you'll see a crescent moon and the brilliant planet Venus. Draw a line toward the lower left, and you'll come across Mercury, sweep your gaze to the other side of the sky. You'll pass Mars, which is high up. And then over in the southwest are Jupiter and Saturn about to set. Do it now, because in a week, you won't be able to see all five at one time.
So I have a couple of WBUR colleagues who are in that time of morning, who are part of the skeleton team in the building, and they'll post pictures from their our roof deck on the building. Are you saying they might be able to see this from the roof deck at WBUR this month at 4:30 in the morning?
I am saying that, and I think we'll take that as a challenge for the staffers, right? And they should be reporting back to us to see what they find.
I've just thrown down and given them extra work. Sorry about that, folks. Okay, so we also saw the first images from the solar orbiter today. Have you had a chance to see those, and can you describe them for our listeners and for us?
Sure. This is a European mission. Guess what? Not all space missions are for NASA. It's a European spacecraft with this very straightforward name, Solar Orbiter, which is in a looping orbit, basically from Earth to inside the orbit of Mercury. And when it gets its closest to the sun, it can take these extremely highly detailed images. And those first images were released today by the European Space Agency. And they show on the surface of the sun, essentially little brush fires or campfires, they're calling them, little blasts of energy that are coming up from the surface of the sun that are injecting energy into the sun's atmosphere, the corona, that corona. And so that might help explain why the surface of the sun is only 11,000 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas the atmosphere of the sun is a couple of million degrees. And the reason that atmosphere is so hot has been bedeviling solar physicists for decades, and this might be one clue in that puzzle.
Okay, so you referred to them as little brush fires, but how big is a little brush fire on the sun? I mean, how do
I knew you were going to ask that. So Solar Orbiter can resolve details as big, as tiny as about 250 miles across. That's roughly the size of the state of Maine. So a little brush fire, the size of the state of Maine, is what we're looking at here. And what this is, it's pockets of, you know, the sun is intensely magnetic. And so these little bursts of light are magnetically driven explosions, small ones, taking place on the surface of the sun, what we call the photosphere. And so that energy is being released upward and up into the atmosphere and may be responsible for heating the atmosphere. Same thing kind of happens on Earth. When we have a massive forest fire in, say, California or someplace out west, it literally heats the air above it and creates its own weather system. And that, in a sense, is kind of what's happening on the sun.
All right. So in social media lately, there have been a lot of memes about things that are just making the world feel like it's too much, like that seabird that's carrying the shark over the beach, or the news that a squirrel tested positive for bubonic plague in Colorado. And people are kind of like, I can't, it's too much. And then I see pictures like this, Kelly, and I realize how small our world is. And I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse, that we're so small when it feels like so much is happening. How do we think about our place in the universe when we see things like this out there?
Actually, you've put your finger on it. We need to think about our place in the universe and going out and seeing the sky and just enjoying it. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be about, you know, magnetic explosions and stuff like that. The universe is just beautiful. Obviously, the darker the sky you can get to, light pollution has spoiled it for many, many of us. The darker the sky, the more beautiful it will be. I'll leave you all with this. If you linger in the evening until about only like 10 or 11 o'clock and look toward the east, you will see there the two biggest planets in our solar system, Jupiter and Saturn, side by side in the sky. And those are roughly, you know, a half a billion and 1 billion miles away. So that gives you just an inkling of how big space is and how small we are within it.
That is amazing. What a joy. That's Kelly Beatty, space reporter and senior contributing editor of Sky and Telescope magazine. Kelly, it was great to have you back. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.